Got quite a few scriptures that we will look at this morning in just following up from where we were last week and just continuing a little bit more of what the blood of Christ has done and enabled us to be able to receive and to experience in our lives. So Father, this morning, as you share more about your Son Jesus, the good news concerning your Son Jesus Christ, as you share more about the power of the blood, what atonement was all about, and the reality of what we have received and what we've gained access into, and how we can live in the reality of this incredible grace that you have given to us as a free gift. So we thank you as your Holy Spirit teaches us more and really imparts and breaks through any strongholds of our minds, any areas in our lives that we just find we are struggling with. Today, Father, we receive the powerful work of your grace. And I just wanted, as Paul would often say, your grace and peace be upon us in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to start here in Matthew chapter 12. And just reading a verse here concerning Jesus Christ, God's chosen servant. And let me just read here in verse 18 onwards. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. Very important statement that in his name the nations will put their hope. So here we see a profound statement concerning the life of Jesus and very much about what the gospel, the good news of God is concerning his Son Jesus. We see the reality that he leads justice to victory. So we're looking at the reality of the cross of Jesus, his life, his birth, his life. We're looking at his death, his resurrection. We're looking at his righteousness. We're looking at his sinlessness. We're looking at what the blood of Christ, what the atonement's all about. And we're seeing here something about how he leads justice to victory. Now, remember over the Easter weekend when we were speaking about this, and in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he's on the cross, one could see the incredible throne of God in his Son Jesus. And that opened up the reality of that one in Psalm there, that the throne of God is established on righteousness and justice. And that was an important beginning phase for us as a family of God to begin to understand something more about the righteousness and justice, something more about what the blood of Christ has achieved and done for mankind. And so we see here, as we look, as we've been going through, we see here that on the cross of Jesus, where he is the righteous Son of God, all of man, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, no, not one. Okay, here we see the Son of God conceived by the Holy Spirit. So we see right from the very beginning of the conception of Christ Jesus, we see the sinlessness of Jesus Christ coming in the form of a man. We were all born from Adam, from him, all because he sinned, all sinned. And so we were all born from the Adamic nature and that sinful nature. So we see Christ coming in as a righteous Son of God, and on the cross with his sinless and with his blood, remember Leviticus, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. It was God's way of doing things. It's his choice. This is what he said he wants to do. And so he spoke about the blood and the necessity of the blood. So we see throughout the Old Testament where all the blood sacrifices could never atone for sin. It was just really part of God's grace so that mankind could to receive forgiveness and have a relationship with God, but it could never cleanse the conscience. It could never deal with the guilty conscience. It could never deal with the reality of the power of sin that still grabbed hold of mankind until Jesus Christ. So here we see the reality of the injustice of Adam's sin. Because of him, we all sin. Can you believe it? Injustice, eh? But here we see the justice of Jesus Christ in dealing with the injustice of Adam and Eve sin. So we're starting to see what Christ did with his blood in bringing about justice. And that's why we read there that Christ's blood, what did he do? He condemned sin in sinful man. And he condemns sin. He's bringing injustice concerning the reality of the power of sin. He's bringing in the justice concerning the wages of sin is death. So all of that we had a look at over the past couple of months during the Easter period of time. So here we see something so profound that here our Lord Jesus is bringing justice into victory through his death and his resurrection. That's very applicable for all who believe. To begin to understand more and more of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. What took place? So we looked at a little bit more of what he did last time we spoke here in Romans chapter, let me go to Romans chapter 5. So here we see that as we looked at the reality of the blood of Christ, where we see how Jesus paid the price and he came into this world and with his blood, he purchased us. He paid the price for the wages of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Jesus' name is Jesus to save us from our sin. So here we see the blood of Christ there paying the price for all of mankind to be saved. But not everybody receives the blood of Jesus. He's paid the price. It's done deal. And here we see the other part of what we looked at there of redemption, where the moment comes when the Spirit of God reveals to us and makes Jesus very real, makes God very real, and we get born again by the Holy Spirit. At that moment, we are now taking hold of what he did, taking hold of the blood of Jesus, and now he's taken us out of the dominion of darkness. He's taking us out of the power of sin. He's taking us out of where death reigned in our lives. He's taken us out of the control of Satan upon our lives. He's taken us out. That's the other aspect of redemption. And so we receive by faith the incredible good news of God and we get born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now what takes place? Now we are taken out of that dominion of darkness. We're placed into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light in our dwelling place. That's where we live. That's our reality. But then we saw not only did he take us out of the power of sin, but part of the word of redemption is that now we start to find he releases us, he brings us into a freedom. And that's our continuous growth as we walk with Jesus. He shares truth, we renew our mind to the truth, truth sets us free. And we experience more and more of the freedom that he purchased when he came and he died on the cross for you and I. So we had a look at all of that over a period of time. And so last time we just recapped a little bit. So here we see something profound. What has the blood of Christ done for you and I? And that's what I'd like to share a little bit this morning because it's an important truth for us as a church family right now to understand the reality of the blood of Christ and the foundation that is given to you and I to be able to grow and to be able to live as a child of God. So here in Romans chapter 5, we read over there part of what we're speaking about there. Therefore, since we have been justified, Christ brought justice to victory through his blood. And because we've received what Christ did, we have now been declared not guilty. We've been justified. It's part of that free gift that God has given to us. Since then, we have been justified through faith. That's what God put in us. He births within us faith to believe. We have peace with God. That's part of the reality with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And it's this that God wants us to understand now. To understand that through the blood of Christ, through the redeeming work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and through the incredible work of God in giving us a faith, He birthed within us the ability to know He's real, and we accepted Him. We've now entered into, permanently into this realm of His incredible grace. And we want to know how to live our lives in this grace. We want to grow in this grace. It's grace upon grace, and the growth in the reality of God's grace for us as believers in Christ Jesus. And so I'd like to share a few scriptures just to unlock a little bit more for us to get an understanding and for us by faith to get into agreement and say, God, You've given me this grace. I'm in this grace. I don't know how to live really in the fullness of this grace, but I want to grow in this reality of how do I live my life in the incredible provision that You have provided for me as a believer. But it's relevant for us as a church, because one of the questions that we need to ask is, what grace has God released over the Sasselburg Baptist Church? And Steve is busy leading and helping to get to that alignment, to understand what grace has God released for the Sasselburg Baptist Church, so that they can work with that grace that God has provided. And each and every one of us, God has given grace, and we need to discover what grace has God given to each and every one of us, that we can work with that grace, live in that grace, grow in that grace, as He has put us all together in one way or the other. Okay, in the town that we live, etc., in the nation that we live. So if we have access through Christ Jesus because of the blood of Christ, we've been justified. We have peace with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled. And it's through our Lord Jesus Christ we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Okay, so let's now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read verse 9 and verse 10. Again, we see it's about the resurrection of Christ Jesus. It's all about the reality of what He has done in the ministry of reconciliation and so forth. And then in verse 9, Paul shares a little bit about his life and grasping the grace that God has given to him and working with that grace. And he says here, "For I am the least of all the apostles, and did not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So he's been speaking about how Jesus appeared with all the disciples and how He appeared after His resurrection. And then he starts to share about his own life, and he starts to share, "But me, I persecuted the body of Christ. And yet, God called me to be an apostle." And so he's starting to understand the grace upon his life. But more important, he accepted the grace of God upon his life. He realized the grace of God. He took hold of that and he worked with that grace of God. And so he says over here, "For I am the least of all of the apostles and did not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." By the grace of God, I am what I am. And if we stop for a moment and we just begin, "God, by Your grace, who am I? Who am I? Because of Your grace." To stop for a moment and to be able to say, "By the grace of God, I am who I am." What does that mean to me as a person? What does that mean to the family of God? I am who I am by the grace of God. See, I didn't deserve it because I was persecuting. But because of God's grace, I am who I am as an apostle, he's saying. Why is this important? Well, there's many reasons. But the Holy Spirit is emphasizing something here because very, very often when the Holy Spirit starts to share who you really are, what His calling is, how, your reason and for existence, and He starts to open it up, what you have received because of His grace, sometimes it's very hard to accept that. Sometimes it's very hard to acknowledge that. And He's wanting us to begin to acknowledge, God, You are showing me who I am, what You have given to me as a gift, what You have given to me that's beyond my own ability. It wasn't me before, but this is what You have given to me. This is what I'm experiencing. I am who I am because of Your grace. And then He carries on and He says over here in verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. What a statement that Paul writes over there. His grace to me was not without effect. It wasn't a waste in my life. I took hold of it. In other words, I worked with this grace of God. I didn't just, oh, I've God's grace upon my life, praise God, but I took hold of it. And I was activated. I moved in this grace of God. I lived my life in this grace of God. I operated in this grace of God. I valued this grace of God in my life. It wasn't a fridge magnet. It was alive within me and I lived it out. And this is what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing for each and every one of us. To know what the blood of Christ has done, that precious blood of Jesus. To know what it is to live in this incredible, incredible love of God that gave His life to redeem us from the power of sin and from going to hell. And to be able to be born again and to be able to live out eternity in the presence of God for all eternity. To know the preciousness of what He did in redeeming us from being enslaved to sin. Being controlled by sin and fear and death. To take us out of that and to live in the freedom that we can have in Christ Jesus. To know this grace. It wasn't just about being born again. But we've died with Him and we've been raised with Him to live a life that glorifies God. There's so much that God has given for each and every one of us to be able to live the life that God has destined for you and I to live. He's given us this grace, and this is what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing, so that we move beyond, I'm a child of God, I'm born again, blah, 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 but to realize I've been raised with Him to live a life that brings glory to my God. The good works that He has predestined for me to be able to live so that my Father is glorified through my life. I want to bear much fruit to bring glory to my Father. There's a grace to bear fruit. There's a grace to live a life that He's called us to live. And so He's helping us to be able to remove the strongholds in our minds with truth. Because the stronghold is excuses, is all this kind of stuff. No, this is me, this is me, this is me, this is me. I've got this inability, I've got blah, blah, blah. And it's all self-focused. Grace goes beyond self. That's what grace is all about. It's God's provision for us to go beyond our own abilities. God's grace. And if we're making excuses, we are denying and we're not taking hold of God's provision for us to live a life in His Son Jesus, to bring glory and honor to His Father, our Heavenly Father. Ouch. But this is serious. Cannot mess around with the blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot just, oh, the blood of Christ has saved me. No. It's too precious. It's too precious to ignore. It's too precious just to play around with His blood. He gave His life, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Let's take hold of everything that Christ has taken hold of for our lives. Let us take hold of the grace. And so Paul writes over here, no, I work harder. I'll just go back again to repeat that. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. That's profound, and that's the call. God has given us grace, and he's calling us now to begin to receive and to acknowledge, God, you've given me grace, even though I don't understand, but it's grace upon grace. I want to grow in this grace, and I'm going to work together in union with what you're provisioned for my life, because it's beyond my abilities. I've got my limitations, but grace goes beyond our only limitations. And it moves us into a realm where we can truly be involved in advancing the kingdom of God. What's the grace over the Sasolburg Baptist Church? What's the grace over us as a husband to go beyond our natural abilities? What's the grace of God over us as wives to go beyond our natural abilities? What's the grace of God upon us as children to go beyond just the normal children and to walk and to grow into the fullness of what God has destined for us as children? What's the grace of God over the schools that we've been placed in, over the workplaces we've been placed in, over our town that we've been placed in? What's the grace of God? He's provisioned for the whole town to move into the purpose of God. See, it's bigger than ourselves. And the more we understand what the blood of Christ has done, the more we begin to realize, God, you spoke so profoundly through the Gospel of John that out of your fullness, God, grace and truth has come through your Son, Jesus Christ. Out of his fullness. Grace flows out of God's abundance into our lives. Let's have a look at the scripture. So, by the grace of God was with me. Let us grasp this. In 2 Corinthians, how we see another example of Paul. You all know about Paul's vision and the thorn in the flesh, a well-known fridge magnet scripture. And Paul is praying and he says over here, to keep me from becoming conceited, 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7 onwards, to keep me from becoming conceited because of his surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Can we see how grace goes beyond our own abilities? Grace goes much further than our weaknesses. The power of grace. So that's why we can do far more than what we can imagine, according to his power that is work within us. So that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake, powerful truth that I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Amazing word that is used over here. My grace is sufficient for you. Here I'll give you some definitions from the biblical lexicons. Sufficient. What God supplies, whether material or spiritual, meets every true need. Sufficient. Always more than enough. Continuously being sufficient. Never running out. Overflows from God. We live in the realm of God's overflowing grace. Romans chapter 5. But we're learning now how to receive it, to acknowledge it, to become aware that that's the grace. We're in this grace. There's a provision that God is giving to you and I to be able to really live our destiny, God, our God-given purpose. We read over here, Another one. The sufficiency of grace is not a bare minimum, but an overflowing adequacy that turns weaknesses into a stage for divine power. That's one of some of the definitions. Let me read you another definition of God's grace. This is just a framework because there's so much more. Grace is God's free provision for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Grace manifests itself as we trust in the person and the work of His Son by granting us all that we would need, all that we would ever yearn for, all that we are commanded to walk in and become. And all of this is granted despite our inadequacy and the fact that we could never deserve, could never earn, and could never produce the merit that would earn or deserve these gifts on our own. And that's by a guy called Bob Hoekstra, God's Grace. Scripture that we often looked at was that one in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just read it now a little bit differently to understanding the realm that we are in and what God's provision, what God's grace, what He has given for you and I to be able to become who He's called us to be able to have everything that we need to be able to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And Paul writes and he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. All of a sudden, when we're starting to realize, but God, there's a provision, this grace, because of the blood of Jesus, there's a provision now in your Son that speaks about we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Let's take hold of the Word of God. Let's go beyond reading. Let's go into, Lord, this truth. I want Holy Spirit to take me. I want to live. Guide me into the fullness of this truth. Not just for me as an individual, but for your family in this nation, the body of Christ. Take us into this that we may walk in this incredible truth. Because it's for your glory, this. This is what your blood has purchased for us. This is what it means to have died with you and been raised with you, Lord. Seated with you in the heavenly realms. All these wonderful scriptures. Let's press in. Let's take hold of the truth. Let's begin to spend time with God. And if you want to use the word wrestle with Him for divine breakthroughs, but to get revelational truth by the Holy Spirit. To go beyond just the reading and to allow the Spirit to birth the life of this word into our lives. So that we can grow in grace, so we become strong in the grace of God. We can live more and more in the overflowingness of God's provision for our lives. And so he says over here, who has blessed us, who has, it's a fact, it's not going to be blessed, who has already blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, God's grace. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. That's our destiny, to be holy and blameless in sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Christ Jesus, grace of God, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Again, all the time, the foundation of us receiving this grace is the blood of Jesus. The forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. The fullness of God has given us grace and truth through His Son Jesus. That He has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and He has made known to us the mystery concerning His Son Jesus Christ. Fascinating way that Paul ends the scripture sometimes. Philemon chapter 1, verse 25, Galatians 6, verse 18. This is how he ends. And he says, because he often begins, the grace and truth from God the Father and our Son Jesus Christ be with you. But listen how he ends sometimes. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's fascinating for me. The grace of God be with your spirit. Because our spirit is the new creation in Christ Jesus. This body is not yet redeemed. Romans 8. We're still going to get a new resurrected body. This is the last thing. Our soul dimension is not redeemed. We still think negatively. We still worry and concern. That's in the process of being sanctified. So that's the journey that's taking place until the moment when we do leave this planet Earth and that full package comes together. So he's asking God, let your grace, everything that you have provided, allow our spirit man to be able to grasp and to receive so that from our spirit we begin to live out everything that you have attained for us. Not from our flesh, not from our soul dimension, but from our born again spirit, the new creation in Christ Jesus. So that this grace of God, we can renew the way we think. So it deals with our soul dimension by renewing our mind, becoming more and more like Christ Jesus. So it's an important thing that Paul prays over here. And I think it's vital for us to comprehend that this morning. As I shared earlier on, for all of us, the effect of God's grace upon our lives. When Paul prays for Timothy and he says, Timothy, grow in grace. Timothy, be strong in the grace of God. We've received grace at salvation. Let's grow. Let's participate. Let's take hold of this grace. Let's ask God's Holy Spirit to expose the fortresses, the strongholds of our mind that enable us to focus on our inabilities. And let us celebrate our inabilities, as Paul said, because that when we take hold of God's grace, we can go beyond, because we know that this is not my ability. We know this is the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through my life. We know it. Beyond ourselves. Let us grow. Can you imagine that prayer that Paul says when he prays, God, by your Holy Spirit, Father, please enable the body of Christ to grasp the love of Christ, to know the depth, the width, the height, and the length of this incredible love, that we may be rooted and established in this love and it carries on. That we may be able to grasp the inheritance that we have received. Grace is part of the incredible reality of the inheritance to receive all the spiritual blessings that God has purposed for you and I as believers in him. And then he goes on and he says, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more and ask or imagine according to his power, his grace that's so powerfully at work within us, taking us out of our own abilities. If you shy, take hold of the grace of God. If we are timid, take hold of the grace of God. If you've got excuses because of past experiences, take hold of the grace of God. Grow in the grace of God. Be strong in the grace of God. Accept if God says to you today I've given you the gift of healing. Accept that grace of God and grow in that grace of God. The spiritual gifts as part of the grace being released upon our lives. If God has given you the gift of encouragement, he's given you the gift of evangelism, if he's given you the gift of apostle, prophet, whatever, and that, take hold of it and begin to say, God, I am who I am because of your grace, and I'm going to grow in it, I'm going to work with this grace, because it's for your honor and glory that I bear much fruit, because it's your power at work within me. Take hold of it. That's the word of God for us today. So, and as I shared Steve is leading for, particularly for the Sasolburg Baptist Church, to discover God's grace, what's upon the Baptist ministry over here. I'm busy with what is God's grace for 1947. I'm involved in leading that side. What's the grace of God upon your life, my life? Let's grab hold of it. If we don't know, it's a good thing to go and say, Lord, I don't know. But your Spirit of truth knows. You know me before I was born. You formed me in my mother's womb. You've already written all the days of my life. It's already been written in your book. You know that I don't know yet. Why don't you share with my Spirit? Let your grace be with my spirit, so I can understand your will. Father, you have said in your word that no one knows your mind except your own spirit. And you have given us not the spirit of this world, but you've given us your spirit so that we can know, that we can know the mind of God, the mind of Christ. That's part of the grace, that we as human beings can know the very thoughts of the Creator, God Almighty. Let's take hold of the grace that we have received. Please, guys. Let us not go, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. God has provided us the Holy Spirit that we can know the very mind of God Himself. That we can walk in His will and know His will. Let's take hold of it. Let's work with that grace. Amen. So, we need grace encouragement now. See, that verse got a few months back. God really challenged me with that verse that God spoke, or put Paul right there, that he works harder than anybody else because not of his strength and his ability, but because of the grace of God. And he chose to work in union with that grace, so that grace was not in vain. And I realized, oh God, you're waking me up over here. You're challenging me here. You've given me life. You've given me grace. And now I'm going to work with this grace you've given. Amen. Jesus, you gave it all. And we sit here with you this morning and we realize the price you paid. Father, your love in giving your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't really understand too much about the power of your blood. But you're opening it up and knowing that an aspect, a foundation of what your blood achieved for us is that we have been justified. We've been declared not guilty because you've removed our sins. You've forgiven our sins based on your blood. And as a result of that, you brought us into not just receiving grace, but you brought us into living in grace. And we thank you for that. As we drink this morning and drink from the cup and eat the bread representing your blood and your body, we're reminded of your grace is sufficient for all of us. Father, you've put a call on our lives. Father, we're not just living in a town because that's just it happened. No, you've placed us. We have purpose. Your church is in this town because you love the people of our community. There's a divine call. And we ask, Father, particularly, Lord, as Steve leads the journey of discovering once again and bringing the church back once again into a grace that comes directly, Father, into the Sasolburg Baptist ministry, that you will open up and really give understanding so there can be an alignment to that and operate in the fullness of that grace. And Father, we ask this not just for this family here, but the body of Christ in our town, the grace that you have released over all the church families, that there will be an alignment and understanding so that together the body of Christ, Father, we can all live in the incredible grace over us as you, Jesus, have put us together in the most amazing way to display your manifold wisdom, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through your body of Christ. So we want to thank you for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, this morning, as you take us and you begin to really lift us up out of, what can we say, false understandings and false perceptions and mindsets that we didn't realize was preventing us from taking hold of the grace and becoming strong in your grace. Lord, we will be challenged, we know, because you shared that. And in our human weaknesses, we're going to feel, we want to run away, we're going to feel intimidated, we're going to feel all these things. But that's the very moment where you're teaching us to stop for a moment and to receive and step and to take hold of your divine power to live in your grace. So we know that this is necessary for us to understand our limitations, our frailty, our weaknesses, our so-called strengths, and to move beyond that because we're in the realm of grace, and for us to be able to understand there's far more that we are able to do because of your power upon us. So open that, expand that. Father, deal by your grace with false humility and really enable us to be able to embrace the grace where Paul says, I am who I am because of your grace. Deal with any false humility, Lord Jesus, in a way that you know how in each and every one of us, that we may truly receive your divine purpose for our lives. And so through you, Jesus, we receive the incredible grace upon each one that all of us here, everyone here and our family, our children, all of us will be able to grow and to move into and grow into the reality of who you've called us. So we bless our families with your grace, Father. We bless our families with your truth. We bless our own lives and receive your grace upon our own lives. And we thank you. We are not stuck anymore, Jesus. Your Holy Spirit is working here today and helping us to get unstuck and to once again take hold of what you took hold of for us, Lord. So as we drink and we eat this morning, Jesus, we are realizing you've taken hold of us. Oh, you've taken hold of us. We belong to you. We've been raised with you to glorify God, to bear much fruit. You've taken hold of us. And today, with your grace, we take hold of what you've taken hold of. And this we receive today through you, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen.